I'm very excited to learn this piece in Sichas Aran we're about to learn. Of course, it's always exciting, or it should always be exciting, to be able to learn a piece of Rabbi Nachman. It's always a great opportunity to learn Torah. But this is, specifically this piece, I'm very excited for, because I reviewed over this piece recently, and it really spoke to me. I was in the middle of speaking with another person about a lot of these concepts, and I saw something here that just gave me such great insight into this exact conversation I was having. An interesting question to think about is, do I have free space in my life? Is there time that's completely free and open during my day? Now, I don't just mean unscheduled, right? But I mean, when I sit on the bus, when I'm walking, am I always listening to something right on my headphones? Am I always learning something or reading something? Or is there ever an opportunity of just, I'm present, but not involved in anything else other than maybe observing, maybe being a little bit more available. And I want to explain like this. Very often, a person will find themselves with nothing to do. And for some people, the thing what we turn to is you pull out your phone. You check your mail, you check your messages, you check whatever you want online. For other people, it's you're walking around with a safer and you pull out a safer. And you start learning from that. And from one perspective, this is a positive thing. You could always be involved in something productive, whether that's learning Torah, lahavdil, whether that's, you know, increasing your success in business, whether that's doing something that's interesting to you, reading a book, playing a game. In some instances, it's obviously positive. In some instances, it's just enjoyable, right? But there's always something to fill one's time with. And in reality, there really doesn't need to be any vacancies in activities. And the more I think about that, the more I wonder, is that necessarily a positive thing? Now, of course, we want to be filling our days and our schedule with things that are productive. But should there be times that I leave a little bit more open in order to be able to receive? Now what are we going to be receiving in that time, right? If I'm sitting on the bus, I'm not on my phone, I'm not learning a safer, what am I going to be receiving? If I'm sitting at a table, right, waiting for someone, and I'm not on my phone, and I'm not learning from a safer, which I'm not necessarily advocating for, I'm just bringing up the discussion. So what's the potential that could possibly come from this? So before we really get into the more practical side of why this might be important, or why it might not be important, let's just take a step back. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, so we know that there was a chalal panoi, right? There was an empty space that Hashem made, so to say. Obviously, it's kiviyachol, it's not an actual empty space, but before the world was created, it was Hashem's light, Ein Sof. There was no end to Hashem's, so to say, light, Hashem's unhindered presence. Now, when Hashem created the world, in order for there to be a finite world and, you know, exist in this within this infinite reality, he needed to hide himself, or he chose to need to hide himself, right? Because in the face of infinity, a finite world wouldn't exist. That's why, let's just think, Har Sinai, right? When the Jewish people were at Har Sinai. So Hashem revealed himself in such a way, we weren't able to handle it. It was too much of a revelation of his, so to say, or his light. And, you know, our neshamas left our bodies. We couldn't handle it. Hashem is hidden in this world, not to make it difficult for us, not because he wants to bring us pain, but it enables us the opportunity to exist and to search him out. If he was completely revealed in this world, we wouldn't even be able to exist here as finite beings. What we see from this is that through Hashem's hiding of himself, through Hashem's almost removing of himself, leaving an open space, look what was created. The world was created. We were created. The opportunity to connect for people and the Jewish people and for all mankind to connect to God came about from the removal of light, came about from the removal, the empty space. And this is a huge idea in life in general, is maybe by leaving an empty space, or creating rather an empty space, intentionally creating an empty space, we're really creating opportunity to connect. So with this in mind, I want to read a piece from Rabbi Nachman, which when I read this piece, I had difficulty understanding this piece and making a jive with this thought in general of maybe there's something to leaving open space. Rabbi Nachman writes in Sichas Aran Os Ayin, Ki kishe'echad misrael rotze ledaber im Hashem Yisbarach, when one of the Jewish people want to speak to Hashem, the first sichas lefanim v'yisbarach, As Hashem is Baruch Mashach Kol in Yanav, Vikola Gezero, Shirotzeg Lixor, Hasver Shalom, Vikola Asakim Shalom, Shayiz Baruch Oseg Bahem Kivyacho, Vuhu Mashach Kol upon Atzma, Rak Lezah Ish. Lezah Ish Shirotzeg Ladabarimo, the first Sikhasov. Rabbi Nachman says that when a Kadosh Baruch Hu, that when a Jewish person wants to speak to Hashem, Hashem takes everything he's in the middle of and he puts it to the side. He just punts it away. And he turns to this person and he listens to them and he pays attention to them. So when I read this piece, my first thought was, but what about if someone doesn't necessarily feel comfortable approaching HaKadosh Baruch Hu? And I want to explain like this. Sometimes in our life, we want to have a conversation with someone. We want to speak to someone. And it's hard. Maybe it's vulnerable. Maybe it's putting ourselves out there. Maybe it's something that's not so comfortable for us. Maybe it could even be by people we're very comfortable with, right? A parent going up to a child. A husband going up to a spouse. A friend going up to another friend, right? Student and teacher. Let's say a student wants to go ask, you know, his Rebbe a question. But the Rebbe's in the middle of learning. So the student's obviously not going to feel super comfortable, hopefully, just interrupting his learning, and nor should he. But if the Rebbe wants to be there for the student, in some ways you would think that the Rebbe would try and make an opportunity, an easier opportunity, for the student to ask him a question. Unless, you know, obviously it depends on what type of student and what type of Rebbe we're talking about. But in general, if you want someone to ask you for help, or you want somebody to connect to you, or you want the opportunity for a person to connect to you if they want to connect to you, so it's not always enough just to say, you know, reach out if you'd like to, or call me for whatever you need. But sometimes they actually need to see that there's an opening and that you're open to hearing from them. If I want to talk to someone, but every single time I turn to talk to them, they're on their phone, and or they're involved in, let's say, writing up a business plan, or they're involved in... So it's not that I'm just talking to them. I'm first pulling them out of whatever they're involved in. For someone that's looking to start a conversation that might not be so easy, it's a two-step process. I'm not just turning to someone and talk to them. I first need to pull them out of whatever they're into, and then pull them whatever I'm into. And that might not be so easy for us. So when I read this piece in Rabbi Nachman, I saw that, okay, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is obviously the master of the world, is involved in a lot. But when we want to talk to him, he'll put that on the side. But what about if we don't feel so comfortable walking up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and talking to him? What if it's difficult for us to start the conversation, right? But when I looked deeper, I saw, in the words of Rabbi Nachman, Kishe Echad Mishrael Rotze. When a Jewish person wants to talk to Hashem, not when they begin to talk to Hashem, not when they say, excuse me, would you mind, you know, I know you're doing the whole running the world thing, can you take a second off from that and just hear me? Because that's very vulnerable. That's very, very difficult. But Hashem makes it easier. Hashem sees when a person wants to talk to them. Before they even actually start talking to them, what does he do? Everything goes on the side. Will they end up talking to him? They might not. But they want to talk to him. The second a Jewish person wants to talk to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, everything he's involved with is put on the side. And he's completely, upona atzmo, rak lezeh ha'ish. He turns himself completely to this person, shavrot ledaber. Not that he started to speak, not this person who started to speak to Hashem, the person who wants to talk to Hashem. So maybe this is a model for us in our lives. Maybe it's a little bit of a model to leave an opportunity for people to feel comfortable to talk to us. Not to have to pull us out of whatever we're being osik in, to always be osik in something that have to be pulled out of that. But maybe there's a little bit of a model here that we could take from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right? Hashem's pretty busy. Right? And don't get me wrong, I'm not saying that a person shouldn't always, right? V'gata bo yom v'layla. Of course. We have a mitzvah, any spare moment to be learning Torah. Men have that mitzvah as a doraisa, right? And of course we all have an opportunity and it's expected of us to be using our time in a wise fashion. But maybe there's something to be said about being extra sensitive to our surroundings and seeing if they're looking to connect to us. Keeping an eye open about it. I've heard, I don't remember where the story was from, but I've heard about a tzaddik who, whenever someone would come up to him and speak to him, ask him a question, immediately he'd close the sefer. Right? He's in the middle of learning. He's in the middle of learning Torah. Someone comes up and asks a question, close the sefer. But what if it was just a quick question, right? What if... But the tzaddik wanted to show that, no, it's not like I'm answering your question and I want to go right back to my learning, because most of the time, it's not only about the question, right? A lot of times about something much deeper. A lot of times maybe they're just searching for some connection to the person. So they just grab on to whatever question they remember that they could ask on a sugya. Or they could ask about, what time is shkia again? What time? But they're really looking for something deeper. They don't necessarily feel comfortable asking for a deeper conversation. But what if the door was open to them? When the tzaddik would close the sefer, it's saying like, I understand that a Kadosh Baruch Hu is in the sefer. But if somebody even wants to talk to me, I don't want them to feel like they're pulling me away from something that's more important than talking to another yid, helping out another yid. It's like sometimes we hear a phrase of, they know when they need me there, I'm here. And okay, whenever they want to reach out, I'm ready to hear from them. But are we not only just like giving them the opportunity to open the door, are we leaving the door open, right? Are we really leaving the door open to make it comfortable for them to come in? Because by a Kadosh Baruch Hu, we're supposed to emulate a Kadosh Baruch Hu, as difficult as it is sometimes, it says, as soon as a Jewish person wants to talk to him, he turns to them. So we don't, it's difficult for us to understand the wants and desires of each person, obviously. That's beyond our understanding. The very least we could do, obviously, is give a person our full attention once they turn to us. But maybe there's a step before that, which is leaving a chal, leaving a space in which it's easier to reach us. Right? Like, I'm all for learning on the bus. I'm all for filling our whenever a person's free, to try and fill that with a positive way. But how many conversations could have happened between two people on a bus that wouldn't have happened if one person was wearing their headphones? Right? How many people were brought closer to Kadosh Baruch Hu because they turned to ask someone like, "What's that on your head?" Right? And they were Jewish, and they didn't know what another person was wearing. Or they want to know why they're wearing it. Now, that conversation might have happened if this person was wearing headphones and listening to a shir, but it also might not have happened. Now, I really don't know what the right thing to do is in these situations. I'm not advocating that a person shouldn't listen to a shir when they're traveling or fill their time with positivity. Of course, I'm not advocating for that. But I just want to show that there is another side, and we have to really consider all sides, because there are times when it's very obvious that we should be leaving a chalal, right? Let's say by maybe parent-child relationship or student-teacher relationship, right? I mean, someone told me about this movie I didn't see, but they told me about a movie that, there was this father who was very learned, and the child would come into his room and talk with him for a few seconds and then leave the room. And the father always left the door open, but he was always busy learning. And of course, you could say, well, yeah, when my kids are ready to talk to me, when my kids need something, they know they can come talk to me. But the reality is, especially nowadays, is that's really not enough. It's not enough between parents and children. It's not enough between teachers and students. It's not enough to just say, okay, the door's open, and if they feel comfortable at some point, but we really need to show that I'm making a space for you, and if you want to fill that space, you're more than welcome to. Because the gap between parents and children and teachers and students are naturally nowadays larger in the first place. So we have to make an opportunity for that gap, right? The gap between us to be filled. And the only way the gap between parents and children and teachers and students can be filled is if there's a gap that's open for them. Meaning that when Hashem created the world, He obviously said He wants to be close with His Jewish people. That's why He created the world, for them to perform mitzvot and be close to Him. But in order to create a connection with them, he needed to first create a chalal, an opening, a gap, in which they could then meet each other in. And let's say a person's not in a place of filling their time with Torah, so then it becomes a lot more clear of, well, if I'm turning to my phone constantly to fill any vacancy in time, right? How many opportunities am I closing off from myself and really from other people of connecting, because I need to fill every second with something. I can't just sit at this table, even though, like, I don't really know so many people there. I can't, like, leave an opportunity for a conversation or a connection that's a little bit uncomfortable. I'm just going to fill that void with a phone in a house. I don't feel like I just need to sit around and wait for, everyone's doing their own thing. I'm going to be focused on my phone. I'm working on my phone right now. I remember reading that Rebbetzin Machlis would always converse with people on the bus. Now, when you consider what her schedule was like, and the amount of positive things she was involved with, the amount of children she had, and how much Torah she learned, and how much Torah she shared, but she had time, right? There was time to create an open space. In short, I'm not looking to provide an answer of when a person should fill their empty time with learning and when they shouldn't, and when it should be open. That's not the goal of what I'm trying to do here. The goal of what I'm trying to do here is really just to raise this question, right? Of maybe we should further evaluate of how we're spending our time, let's sort of say, either free time or open time, right? Time in between things. Time when we're not as busy. Is there a way to maybe leave that more open? By leaving it open, will that maybe lead to greater opportunities? And of course, with that understanding is, listen, Hashem created the world and he made a big chalal. He took himself, kaviyachol, so to speak, he took himself out, he hid himself. Now, are there times when there's chil Hashem? Of course there's chil Hashem. Chil Hashem is abound in the world. Look around, there's so much chil Hashem. So because of that, it wasn't worth that Hashem removed himself. He says, oh, forget it. The whole point of removing myself was to connect with the Jewish people. And look how much I'm connecting with them. Look how much is lacking, right? I don't think that's the response. Otherwise, there wouldn't be a world. Right? But it's as if the times when we are connecting with Hashem, it's so worth it to Hashem that even though the whole purpose of the world was to create a space for the Jewish people to connect to Hashem, and most of the Jewish people, or most of the time, the Jewish people are not connecting to Hashem, it's still worth it because there are times when we do. So maybe it's the same thing in our own life, right? Every time we don't open a book, is someone going to come up to us and speak with us? Every time we don't fill our seconds with putting ourselves in an activity, or using our phones, we're going to find something more meaningful to do? Probably not. Probably not are we going to find something meaningful to do, especially when it comes to Talmud Torah. But if it was enough for Hashem, so maybe at times it's enough for us. And I'm not talking about in Seder time. I'm not talking about a person who has set learning time. I'm talking about during open time. I'm talking when a person's out in public. I'm talking about a person's in his house, you know, with whether it's children or siblings or parents or a Rebbe when he's with his students. Or student, honestly, when he's with his Rebbe. Is the door open for that as well? And of course, if it holds true for those two relationships, then of course it also holds true between a husband and wife. Maybe it's possible to make an effort to make conscious time when we're not involved in something. That there should be time that I'm not constantly involved in something, but that it's open to a deeper connection, open to deeper conversation, whether that happens or not. Again, most of the time will be Kodesh Kedashim, maybe not. But the times when it does turn into an unbelievable opportunity for connection, that makes all the other times that it didn't worth it. It also makes a person available and ready and present in their relationship more. So it's possible one, you know, we could say, no, it's a Talmud's job, it's a student's job to go to the Rebbe, right? It's a child's job to go to the parent. It's the person who wants to communicate on the bus, it's the person who wants to communicate with you wherever they are, to reach you to communicate. And okay, you should receive them, you know, but you don't need to be waiting at the door with the door open. If they come to the door, you could greet them. And I totally hear that side. But I want to share another piece from Rabbi Nachman, which is one of the pieces that speaks to me on an unbelievable level. Lakutei Moran and Tinyana Torah Lamed Chet. Rabbi Nachman writes the following. L'pa'amim hagadol holech v'noseh la'akata. There are times when the greater one, the larger one, goes to the smaller one. And there are times the opposite. The haynu shel pa'amim hatzadik nosei al-medina u'meir la'tamidim. The pa'amim hatamidim bayim etzla. Right? There are times when a tzadik, right? Tzadik bo la'ir. The tzadik comes to visit a town. And there's times when the talmidim should go visit the Rebbe. And the talmidim should go find the tzadik and hear his shmuz in his hometown. V'dasha zos ha'bechina higedola. You should know that the higher thing is, the loftier thing is, when the gadol, when the tzaddik, when the rebbe, when the parent goes down to the smaller one, to the child, to the student. This is an even holier aspect. It's so obvious that it should be the smaller one who comes to the greater one. It should become to the one that's, whether he's younger, less in knowledge, less in ability, or the one in need should be coming to the one who doesn't need. Because the one in need is the one who needs to receive. So if you need to receive something, you go to the one who is able to give it to you. And we see this a lot, which is nowadays, he's talking specifically about a tzaddik, which the tzaddik, his light is so big that it's hard for a person who's small to even be silva that light, to even come in contact with that light, because it's too much for him to imagine picking himself up and going to such a tzaddik. And nowadays, like we mentioned, there's such a gap between people and between relationships that it's very hard for the lower one, so to say, the lower one, but let's say the one in the smaller position, to bring themselves to talk to a person who's holding in a different place than them. It's so much so that this student he's talking about here is not able to receive from the tzaddik in the place where he is right now, right? Even if the katan would go to him, he's not in a place to receive. Because the light of the tzaddik is just too big. It's too big for this person. So therefore, the gadol, the tzaddik, the parent, the teacher, the I'm not saying every one of these is a tzaddik, but I'm saying in this role, the one who's looked at as the gadol, the larger one, is responsible for coming to the smaller one. Because when the larger one, when a Rebbe goes to the Talmud, he lowers himself a little bit. And this or, which was so great from the tzaddik, okay, this light of the tzaddik, that couldn't really be, we couldn't be makabla right now. I can't receive the light from the tzaddik because he's holding, it seems, in just such a different place. He's so holy, he's so lofty. What does he know of my struggles? When this lofty tzaddik comes down to my level, it takes a little bit away from his light, right? He's not as much on the pedestal anymore. He's out of his, right? He's not on his home turf. And now I can actually receive from him. This light isn't so blinding that it actually makes it kind of possible for me to receive from him. And he brings up Moshe Rabbeinu. Right? This was the level of Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe had great people in his time. But even in front of them, he had to lower himself. Right? He had to lower himself to show that. Moshe lowered himself to give to the people, right? He lowered himself to teach them the Torah. He lowered himself to be their leader and to be there for each of them, even though it was Moshe Rabbeinu, the holiest of the holy. And we're talking about people of Yoshua, Aaron, Im Kol Zeh, Moshe Rabbeinu Lav Hashem. But Ma'al Gedol Avitzua Ma'od, Moshe was on such a great level that, right, Yoshua and Aaron, they couldn't receive from him, right, after Moshe Rabbeinu came down. Right, the Karen Or Ad Shehuchroch LaHaktin Atzmo LaHchni Atzmo Negdam. Moshe needs to lower himself. Kedishu Yuchlu the Kabel Oro, so they could receive from Moshe. In order to really receive from Moshe, they couldn't approach him. They couldn't go up to him in that same way at certain times. Moshe needs to lower himself. Bechol Makom Shatamu Tzegudu Laso. The Gemara says in Megillah that wherever you find a Kadosh Baruch Hu's greatness, you also find a Nivus. You also find his humility. You also find humility there. Because the two work together. If a gadol wants to be able to give to another, there are times when he needs to lower himself, when he needs to humble himself. And of course there are times when, whether it's a Rebbe or a parent, needs to have some, right? They need to also have self-respect. We're not talking about losing self-respect or giving up certain honor that shouldn't be given up. There needs to be certain honor. There needs to be certain respect. There needs to be certain distance between every relationship. But we also have to be careful of an excess. An excess of honor, an excess of distance, an excess of space. And Rabbi Nachman goes on to say, we'll finish the piece with this a little bit later on. So even though this gadol is lowering himself to approach the smaller one, right, he's the one making the initiative. It's not considered as if the greater person is really lowering himself. Because even though for the moment, Shesarech Levatel Or Lefisha, his light is being a little bit diminished, it's being a little bit hidden, in order so that the Katan can receive from him, K'neged Atikin Shnaseh Ba'akatan, Sheu Metakno Magdil, Ki Bito V'Kadnos Agadol Hu Rak Lefisha, Re'achach Chozol Ma'ato, V'Hu Metakin Magdil Katan Lagamre. He said right after, when he leaves the Katan, his Or goes back to what it was. It goes back to what it was, but not only does it go back to what it was, the katan is now a greater aura. The katan is now built up. Instead of the katan being, you know, broken and is where he is in this low place, and the gadol being in his lofty place, right, the lofty one, the tzaddik, comes down a little bit, raises the other one up, but he goes back up. It's just lefisha, it's just for a few moments. He's not really brought down. And this is a lot of the praise of Moshe Rabbeinu and a lot of our tzaddikim. when they can lower themselves, not a way of like chas v'shalom person, they should lower themselves in such a way that a child should lose respect for a parent, or you know, or a teacher should lose, you know, that students should lose respect for a teacher. Obviously, it needs to be in a respectable way, in an honorable way, and in a, you know, it shouldn't be. Everything needs to be within limit, but at the same time, to leave the door open for another to reach out, right? When a person even wants to connect to you, a person even wants to share something with you, to be the type of person that is able to put shtiyot aside, to put distractions aside, to put even something that's valuable aside, to say that I'm going to leave an opportunity for connection, leave an opportunity for something that might not happen, but I'm also leaving an opportunity for something that has a greater chance of happening if I just leave a little chalal. Hashem should bless us to be able to evaluate when is the proper time to leave open, to connect with others, to others to approach us. Hashem should show us when there are times that we shouldn't leave open, or we should be filling it with the proper things. Hashem should make us approachable for all the people in the world that are searching for connection, and everyone is. For all the people who are searching for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And through this effort, HaMakom, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is referred to as the Makom, the place, the space, should bring us nechama to all the Jewish people, bring us to Eretz Yisrael, into a rebuilt temple. Thank you so much for learning with us.